broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
People easily become overwhelmed. You think about a goal that sounds good to you, but it's usually multi-step.
We have to sustain and hopefully expand the support in the American
public.
It
is one of the options. Now they have to wait and see if the Anibai kicks in.
It was horrible. You could not even get down the road without running over
carpet
hundreds.
Bagger. World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. And 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. They're not forced to. They're called The Fred Thompson Show. And now, anyway, an ESPN broadcaster lands in hot water for an off-air spat with a colleague. Why do we know about it? Because we know everybody's business now, don't we? Brett Favre gets hit with a sexual harassment lawsuit, naturally. And a Facebook picture has serious repercussions for some nursing students. Margaret Gray also joins us in our next segment with a Hollywood report on Zsa Zsa Gabor, who is not doing good, man. Not as far as I can tell. Robert Leonard is with us. Bud Dickman. You guys have a good Christmas?
Yeah, a pretty good one. But I just spent on my mom's house and everything.
What about you, Robert?
Yeah, I was with my aunt. And then I went and I tell you, I gotta hit the gym now, man.
Yeah, you had gravy on your face.
I don't have gravy. You don't think I got gravy?
Why do you think he had gravy?
Well, there's something shiny.
I sweat, man.
Were you sweating?
Yeah. I run all the way over here from the bus stop because I couldn't find the keys to my car. Then my aunt said she had it.
Couldn't find the keys to your car, so you took the bus here?
Yeah, nobody takes a bus around here.
Yes, they do. Seriously?
Yeah. And so anyway, I was sweating. He thought I had gravy on my face.
You have gravy, man, okay?
Well, I know if you take to the shower.
If you take to the shower.
I shower every day, you slob.
Anyway, 877-876-PHIL took the bus, huh? So why'd your aunt have the car?
I don't know. So all of a sudden, she said, I got to take the car to go to the doctor. I knew she'd said something, but I forgot all about it.
Did you get the car back?
I get it back in the house now.
You got a ride home?
Yeah, but with him.
I said I'd give him a ride.
On his bike?
No, he said he'd ride on the back.
No, I ain't riding on the back. You're riding on the back.
All right, well, you guys need to work that one out. 877-876-PHIL. He's pointing at it. It's his bike, you know?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Anyway, 877-876-PHIL and online at philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of our show as well as audio of our show as well as archives of our show. So head on over there and check it out, man. And I'm telling you, things are afoot, brothers and sisters. Things are afoot. Things are afoot. But we've got some heavy things waiting for you as well as not just on the website but on the show. But I do want to mention to you that we're going to be upgrading our video presentation it's going to be a beautiful thing, man. It's going to look like Wake Up L.A. or Drop Dead L.A. or whatever that Regis and Kathy Leith or Regis and Kelly or Regis and somebody. It's going to look even better than that, man.
You know, I have like a backdrop of L.A. and all that.
Yeah, like the ocean.
Yeah, we're going to have all that backdrop thing, that green screen thing. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. All right, there's an ESPN broadcaster named Ron Franklin. I wouldn't know this guy, man, if he dropped dead in my home. Ron Franklin, who's he?
He's pretty famous.
I never heard of this guy. Anyway, he's never heard of me, and that's fine. But he's the guy that's in trouble. He called some reporter, a sideline reporter, Jeanine Edwards, sweet cakes and an a-hole. Not on the air. Not on the air, okay?
Yeah, double-check that.
Yeah, so this has got nothing to do with him being on the air. This was an off-air spat. This was something that happened in a meeting. So I almost feel a little dirty reporting this to you, because I don't think it's really any of your or my business, to be honest with you.
Why not?
Because it didn't happen on the air. This happened off the air, behind the scenes. It was a problem between two employees, but what the hell? You know, it's out there now. What happened was the following thing. Franklin said in a statement, blah, blah, he's sorry. But anyway, Franklin and Edwards were scheduled to work together for Friday's Chick-fil-A Bowl. Boy, that's the... He should have turned down that assignment.
Yeah, anything called the Chick-fil-A and everything.
I would have said, no, thank you, man. Anything called a Chick-fil-A Bowl has got bad news written all over it.
Doesn't sound lucky.
But he did, and the incident occurred in a pregame production meeting. It was attended by ESPN announcers Ed Cunningham and Rod Gilmore. When the conversation turned to the subject of Gilmore's wife, Marie, being elected mayor of Alameda, California, Edwards, this is Janine Edwards, tried to join in but was shut down by Franklin, according to the report. Franklin told her, and we're quoting, "Why don't you leave this to the boys, sweet cakes," end quote. Now, did this actually, did he really say that? I don't know. What report is this? Well, this is some report that was filed with ESPN. It has, I'm sure it was not intended for publication. And the chances that they got it right are slim to none, you know. Anyway, she said to him, "Don't call me sweet cakes. I don't like being talked to like that." Franklin then said, "Okay, then, a-hole." And he used the whole word.
Yeah, it's a,
don't say it.
We know what he said. Edwards reported Franklin's comments to ESPN management, who attempted to pull him from the Chick-fil-A Bowl broadcast, in which he said, "Thank you, I didn't want to do that game anyway." And they said, "Well, how would you like it that you don't do a game ever again as long as you're walking this earth?" And he went, "I don't think so." "Well, then shut up." He was then pulled from the Fiesta Bowl. How do you like that? ESPN said in a statement that adhering to our personal conduct policies and showing respect for colleagues, yada, yada. It's not the first time he's been involved in sexist remarks to a female. Apparently, they've had a problem with this guy. Now, this is all off the air. Again, this is not on the air. This is off the air. So I jumped to the conclusion saying, what kind of an unprofessional slob is he saying these things on the air? But he didn't. He's just a slob, but he's not an unprofessional slob.
Yeah, kept it behind the scenes.
Right. On October the 1st, 2005, according to the Chicago Tribune, during a game between Notre Dame and Purdue, Elliot Ness and the Franklin was calling sideline reporter Holly Rowe praised Purdue defensive coordinator Brock Spack for using all three timeouts on defense despite trailing by four touchdowns late in the game. "If the coaches are giving up," Rowe added, "what does that say to the players?" Franklin responded, "Holly, it's not giving up. It's 49-21, sweetheart." In response to that, Mo Davenport, senior coordinating producer for college football, said it was an inappropriate comment, and "we've communicated that to Ron. There's never a reason to say something so mean-spirited. Ron apologized. We dealt with it internally." Franklin is 68 years old. He's been with ESPN since 1987. He's been a commentator on basketball and college football. I don't know who the hell he is, but he's had a behind-the-scenes problem talking to women in an insulting way. So, you know, you don't say sweet cakes, Jack, and you don't say, you don't do that. See what I'm saying? I thought he said it on the air. He didn't say it on the air.
Oh, it's like just saying it in the office.
It was like saying it in the office, yeah. So he's just an idiot. If he'd said it on the air, I would have said that he has got a brain tumor or something, you know. But saying it off the air and just saying it in the office, he's an idiot, but at least I can still admire him professionally.
Right.
Thank you. Okay, so there's that. And speaking of slurs, we have Chris Brown used a gay slur on Twitter. Now, we got involved in something here this weekend. Some guy who calls himself a progressive, he's like a liberal, at least he's in favor of the DREAM Act, he called Greg Gutfeld of Red Eye a F-word, you know? And so Jeff Dowder was on Twitter, and Jeff Dowder said, "Hey, how can you be a progressive and call a guy an F-word?" And the guy said, "It's not a slur against gays, it's a curse word." And then Dowder said, "Why, you dumb Mexican." And
no, he didn't.
Well, it was something like that. But so this is that. But that was like a political conversation. This progressive dude. But in his world, being liberal means just like being in favor of the DREAM Act. He don't want nothing to do with them gays. Now, here's Chris Brown, who's black. So we certainly. No, I'm joking. OK,
man, watch out, man. Now that we're not all a bunch of like hate gay people and everything.
I'm kidding. All right. Chris Brown seems to be a pro at alienating his fan base. You mean all of the gay guys that are...
No, man, he don't go gay. That's not his fan base.
Well, the troubled, that's what it says here in the Us Weekly. The troubled R&B singer who famously assaulted then-girlfriend Rihanna in February 2009 when she called him a queer. No, she didn't. I'm kidding. He famously assaulted her, though, in February 2009, waged war with former B2K member Raz B on Wednesday, calling him a D... blank CK in da booty. You get it, okay?
Man, what is it, like code or something?
I don't know, but it's very involved. So he basically called him gay, and not even gay. It was almost like jail gay or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like a punk gay.
Anyway, though Rasby started the feud, he tweeted that he didn't understand how people like Brown and Eric Benet can disrespect women as intelligent as Halle Berry and Rihanna. It was Brown who fanned the flames. Tell me this, blankety blank, why when the money was coming in, you won't complaining about getting, and he goes into all this homo stuff. You know, you younger rappers, you're all about money. I understand that. And you're all about, you sound stupid, basically, is what I'm trying to say. Money, 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 money. One of the things about money, if you really want to have a little bit of class, which I know you probably don't talk so much about money. You got money. You don't have to talk about having the money.
Why?
What do you mean, why? All these hip-hop, these young guys, they're all about, you know, what is it that Ice-T says? He's caked out?
Yeah, he is caked out.
All right. I guess Ice-T can say that, but he didn't even go out. He's not running around telling people that. He was talking to Soulja Boy for some reason. But what I'm saying is the following thing. Why do these young guys gotta talk about all the bread they got? Man, we know you got bread, man. When you talk about all the bread you have, you sound like you're gonna lose it all tomorrow. You sound like you're holding on to it. Like, you know, you're holding on to you're hanging off a 100-story building or something. All this money I got, money, money, my rolls, and money, 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 and all the women that love you, the women that love you, the women that love you. You know, you're talking all about the chicks and all about this bread, and you got all of that, and you sound like you're going to lose it tomorrow. That's how desperate you sound when you're singing that way.
Yeah, but what else are they going to sing about?
Well, there's a good point. Anyway, Brown's fans accused him of being homophobic. His fans accused him of this. The 24-year-old singer claimed his attacks weren't intended to insult anyone but Raz B. I'm not homophobic. He's just disrespectful. By the way, I love all my gay fans, and this immature act is not targeted at you. It's whack as F that everybody can bash me, but as soon as I defend myself, it's World War III. You see, all of these guys, man, you are so put upon, Brown. You're such a, oh, poor me. You know, you got all this money, you got all these chicks, you got all this, you got all that, and you feel so put upon. How can a guy as great as you have everybody just crapping all over you? Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because, you know, they don't like you. Maybe you're ugly. Maybe you're not as sweet as you think you are. Who knows? You got all that bread, so what do you care? All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray will have the really important, what is it, bud?
She's going to have Zsa Zsa Gabor. She's going to have her leg taken off or something.
Like I said, the big entertainment news. Well, no, it is. It's important. It's Zsa Zsa, man. 877-876-PHIL. Margaret Gray next here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Henry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Margaret Gray joining us from Dicklin, the Dicklin Syndicate in Santa Monica. And it's time for our entertainment report. Margaret, how are you?
You know, can you turn that down, please? Can you turn that down? Thank you. I was hoping you'd find something a little less cliched.
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't pick the music, you know.
Well, who picked that?
I did.
Who?
I did.
Well, I don't appreciate it. I think it sounds very cliche, but...
All right, well, we'll try not to have it... We'll try not to have it next week.
I mean, listen, it's Hooray for Hollywood. That is... God.
All right, so we won't have it next week.
Fine. Phil, thank you very much. I'm Margaret Gray here in Hollywood, and this is my initial entertainment report that I think has been devalued slightly with that asinine music.
No, all right, we will not have it next week. I apologize.
Well, it's a little late, that's all. Zsa Zsa Gabor may have her leg amputated.
Wait, hold on. Margaret, what's wrong?
There's nothing wrong. I'm doing my entertainment report as you told me to do it, but I'm doing it after Hooray for Hollywood, which is as cliche as it gets, and I'm just a little disappointed, that's all.
I apologize. We'll change the music.
Oh, I understand that.
All right, and now Margaret Gray and her Hollywood report.
Yeah, right. Zsa Zsa Gabor is going to get it cut off. Go. Would you go?
The options now they have to wait and see if the anti-buy kicks in. If the anti-buy kicks in and they know there is a future in healing, then they probably don't do it. But if they see there is no healing at all, you know, yeah, after the anti-buy, then they probably will do more. Hopefully she is not going to lose her leg, but they have to operate on the wound. They have to cut the wound, yeah, out, that's for sure. The wound is almost 15 inches long and 6 inches wide,
well,
so it's a very big wound.
It is. All right, is that done?
Margaret, you don't sound like you've got it together.
I've got it together. Don't worry about it. That was the husband of Zsa Zsa Gabor, Klaus something, and he's talking about something being 6 inches long or 15. The point that I want to make, Phil, is this. I hope she loses the leg because you've put me in such a foul mood, given that hooray for Hollywood and the bad timing of your engineering, the fact that that young man, when I asked for the audio...
Well, when you asked for the audio, you went go.
I know what I said, and I'm not having a conversation with you. This is Margaret Gray's Entertainment Report, and I'm saying that I was going to comment on Zsa Zsa Gabor and how she's been a stalwart and a wonderful entertainer, but now because of the mood you've put me in, I hope she loses both legs.
Okay, I guess we're done, huh?
You got it. Oh, for God's sake.
Let me hear. Are you, Phil, are you there?
Frank, I'm here, yeah.
All right, he's in a bad mood. Can we do it again, and I'll get him in a better mood. And
will you hold on for a minute?
I can't hold on. I got to get him in a good mood.
Hold on. Frank Gray has a degenerative disease because of syphilis. He has gender confusion. Go ahead, Frank.
Go ahead, Frank, what?
Tell me what you were saying.
No, I'm just saying I'll get him ready, and then you have Dickman play that music she picked out.
What?
Don't worry about it. All right, I'll have Dickman play the Hooray for Hollywood.
Right, and when she plays the music, then I'll have him come on.
Meaning Margaret?
No, meaning me. Yes, Margaret.
All right.
All right, here it is. I go.
I'm Margaret Gray, and welcome. This is Hollywood. Zsa Zsa Gabor had it cut off the other night.
All right, here's the story with Zsa Zsa Gabor.
May I call her back?
Don't call her back. She's got a problem with the music. Ailing actress Zsa Zsa Gabor was taken to a hospital over the weekend and may have to have her leg partially amputated. That's very tragic news. And having her come on may get it cut off. Who's that slut that's on Letterman right now?
I don't know. I was just checking her out.
I'm just kidding. That's Paula Abdul. I'm joking. So anyway... Prince Frederick von Anhalt said his 93-year-old wife, who was read the last rites during a health scare last year, was on antibiotic. What?
She can't read?
She can't read what?
She had to have the last rites read to her.
What do you mean she can't read? They read it to you when you're dead, man, or when you... Anyway, Prince Frederick von Anhalt said his 93-year-old wife, who was read the last rites during a health scare, meaning she was on her deathbed.
Oh,
was on antibiotics and heavy-duty painkillers, but did not know what was being done. Gabor actually was due before the holidays, but we didn't want her to be in the hospital. We wanted to celebrate the holidays at home, Van Anhalt told AP from outside the emergency room. An infected wound on her lower right leg had grown considerably over the past weeks, so we very much were concerned that it, heal. The Hungarian-born actress's lengthy film career includes spots in a dozen films and television shows, including John Huston's Moulin Rouge, the 1958 film noir classic Touch of Evil. Now, that's a great movie, man, that she was in there. And a number of others. So we hope that she's well. You heard the husband there, Count or Duke, or I don't know what he is.
I think he's like a Duke.
Duke von Anhalt saying that, you know, it's touch and go, man. All right, a Facebook picture has serious repercussions for some nursing students. We may or may not talk about that when we come back. Yes, we will, but that's not the sexiest tease in the world. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome. All right. People who wear glasses, what do you want me to do, bud?
I don't know.
I just asked my producer a question, and he didn't want to answer it for me, so I don't know what the hell it is he's sending me here. What is this garbage that I'm looking at? Top trends to watch for in 2012. Is that it?
Yeah, I guess you're supposed to do that.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Anyway, it's 20. We're kicking off 2011 the way we ended 2010, man. Anytime you want to get around to telling me what these stories are, man, you do that, okay? In the meantime, what I'll do is... Yeah, but you didn't tell me about that, man. You were talking to me about something else, dude. What is the other story you were going on and on and on about? And I couldn't get in that question about these top trends. Where's this other story? Resend. There you go. Racy videos. There we go. Okay. Raunchy comedy videos made a high-ranking Navy commander and... Raunchy comedy videos made by a high-ranking Navy commander and shown to the crew of an aircraft carrier 3 or 4 years ago have suddenly proved an embarrassment to the Pentagon that could blight the officer's career. The videos released Sunday by a newspaper in this Navy port city, the Navy port city of Norfolk, Virginia, feature Captain Owen Honors using gay slurs, pantomiming masturbation, and staging suggestive shower scenes. They were played on the shipwide television system during weekly movie night when Honors was executive officer or second in command of the USS Enterprise. Honors has since become commander of the ship. Captain Honors will be temporarily relieved of his command as early as Tuesday, Navy sources told NBC News on Monday, as an investigation of the videos is conducted. Over the weekend, the Navy at first downplayed the videos as humorous skits, then called them not acceptable and said that they are under investigation.
Is that the Enterprise? Not, I know it's not Star Trek or anything.
No, it ain't. So what are you asking me?
Yeah, it's not Star Trek.
Yeah, I mean, is that what they named it then?
No, Star Trek was named after... I don't know. Star Trek was named after this ship, for all I know. They had an Enterprise that was a space shuttle, and then this is an aircraft carrier.
Right, but did they get it from Star Trek?
I don't think so. I think Star Trek got it from them. I don't know. Anyway, because I think the Enterprise has been around for a long time, in varying different, you know, stages.
What does that mean?
I mean, it was at one time, there was an Enterprise, and then they had another Enterprise. I think they've had a million Enterprises, for all I know. I think that's how they do it. The video's existence was not news to Navy higher-ups. In a statement to the Virginian Pilot on Friday, the Navy said its leadership had put a stop to videos with inappropriate content on the Enterprise about 4 years ago. The military's undergone a cultural shift in recent decades away from the, quote, loutish frat boy behavior. It is now working to accommodate gays in its ranks with Congress's repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Also, the Navy is opening its all-male submarine force to women this year. Now, let me just make sure that I understand. Oh, there were gay slurs, okay. Pantomiming masturbation and suggesting. Oh, all right. Now, this was a story written by Dina Potter and Steve Skotak. And the Navy's getting rid of its loutish behavior. Well, if it's behavior that's offensive to gay people, and they're going to be gay people in the military, I guess it's not cool, you know. But sometimes I wonder if these are guys that are actually going to go out there and kick some ass. But I guess you can't say that anymore, can you?
What?
You can't have a military that's going to go out and kill.
You have to have a military that, you know, you can't mention that, and you got to be this and you got to be that.
Yeah, but he's making fun of gay people and everything.
Well, I know. I understand that. I understand that. And I don't think that that's right. But what I'm saying is the following thing. There's something more that's going on in the military now, something far more. We don't talk about winning wars anymore. We don't talk about going out and killing the enemy. We don't talk about giving our soldiers what they need to complete a mission. We talk about getting them home. And we talk about them behaving like fine little gentlemen and fine little ladies and shining their shoes and, you know, being all acceptable. And if anybody who's a civilian brings any of this up, the first thing that people who are, you know, a little brain dead, first thing they say is, well, did you ever serve? No, I never served. But you know what? The money that I put into paying taxes to support the military, and I mean putting it in. I don't mean cheating on my taxes and keeping it out. I mean paying my fair share. I think I bought myself a question or two. Nonetheless, you know, we got a military now that is... I don't know why we even have a military. Is there any reason why we have a military? You know, we're in Afghanistan right now, and you'd swear to God, all of a sudden, we're losing that war. And Iraq, did we ever win it? You can't say win, though, because if you say win, you're politically, you know, you're politically, that ain't cool. By the way, somebody tell that dumbass in Nashville, does this sound like I'm a liberal? Anyway, he was a caring professional, and yes, he has a sense of humor, but you need, on a boat a little bit more of, you know, some kind of understanding, said Misty Davis, who served on the Enterprise. It's no worse than anything you'd see on Saturday Night Live or Family Guy. Captain Honors is a very professional sir. So it looks like they're going to run this guy out of town on a rail, and people think that he's just a fantastic guy. Let's take a look here at the Racy Navy videos. This is a story. And here are some comments.
As usual, the Admiral and the Captain have no idea about the contents of the video or movie this evening, and they should not be held accountable in any judicial sense.
Over the years, I've gotten several complaints about inappropriate material during these videos. Never to me personally, but gutlessly through other channels. This evening, all of you bleeding hearts, and you fag swole boy, why don't you just go ahead and hug yourselves?
Oh, wow, they didn't edit that out, man. Now, they would edit out the N-word, I should say. All right, here is number two.
Well, we took a look at what was on the DVD, and we're pretty surprised at the contents of the videos. And our reporter, Corinne Riley, then began reaching out to find other sailors who had been aboard Enterprise in 2006, 2007. Some crew members thought they were funny. There were some people we were...
No, it's not even a story. What's next?
Get Brett Favre.
Brett Favre faces sexual harassment lawsuit. In the wake of a sex scandal that tarnished Brett Favre's storied 20-year NFL career and cost him a $50,000 fine, two more women have come forward filing a sexual harassment suit against the star quarterback. Christine Scavo and Shannon O'Toole, both former massage therapists for the New York Jets, filed suit against Favre, the New York Jets, and Lisa Rippey, a woman who hires massage therapists for the team in the Supreme Court of the state of New York on Friday. Wow. The New York Jets and the National Football League had no comment on the matter. Requests for comment from Brett Favre's agent and the Minnesota Vikings were not immediately returned. In the suit, Scavo alleges that Favre sent text messages. We already know about all of this. Text messages, let's get together. Did he send a picture of his thing?
Yeah, this is the same one.
All right, so now he's getting sued for sexual harassment, as well he should. One of the problems is... some guys they're not up to speed on what the rest of us are going through, okay? Favre and the rest of you jackasses that play football, or maybe you're a hockey player, or a baseball, or a movie star. I don't know what you guys have been doing or who's protecting you, but you need to get up to speed on what the rest of us have to go through, okay? And that is, we got to watch our ass every second of every minute of every day. So now, because the Green Bay Packers, or whoever it is that holds your leash, didn't clue you in on what's going on in this world, because you don't get no special treatment here, friend.
Yeah, well, that's what he thinks, though.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
No, he didn't. Why would you say that?
Then why did he do it?
Why did he do it? If he doesn't think he's going to get special treatment, or if he thinks that he's somehow immune, why would he behave this way? No guy that's got a brain that fully developed inside of his skull, once he's, you know, out of his mother's womb, is going to behave this way and not expect a lawsuit. No man that's been conscious, aware, and breathing oxygen over the last, let's put it at 15 years, let's say. 15 years. and that's at the outside, would behave this way and not expect a lawsuit. Guy like Favre, and I'm telling you, I don't blame him. I blame the fact that you don't want to say anything to a guy like that and piss him off, and then the next thing you know, he's going to want to play for another team. You can't have that happen, now can you? You don't want to say anything to a guy and piss him off, and the next thing you know, he's going to want to go someplace else and make all kinds of money for other people. So you have to be very, very careful. So Brett Favre behaves the way he wants to, like the entitled athlete that he is, and now he's getting his ass sued. And they're suing Brett Favre. Are they suing the suing the Jets, too?
I think that they had no comment. It said that they're suing him.
It says here a $50,000 fine. The women have come forward. They've filed this lawsuit against Favre and the Jets. And I knew that.
Yeah, they got to sue the team.
They're going to sue the team, and they, you know what they may do is the Jets are going to want to say this. The Jets are going to say, all right, I tell you what we'll do. Go ahead and sue us. Drop Favre from this. Drop this Lisa Rippey from this. Just sue us for whatever the hell you want to sue us for, and we'll make the whole thing right. You know?
Yeah, but he's got a lot of money, too.
Yeah, I mean, they may still want to sue him, but if the Jets will... Oh, of course, does he still play for them? No, he didn't even play for them, so the Jets don't give a damn. But I would say that if the Jets are looking to just, you know, make this thing go away and protect Brett Favre, which I don't know why they would do that, they would simply, you know, negotiate with her attorney, drop him from the suit, and this Lisa, whatever the hell her name is, and say, look, what do you want? Because they want money, you know that. They want money, and and the Jets know that, and Favre knows that, and the question is, how much is it?
How can you say that? Maybe they want to have justice.
Oh, would you get out of here, man?
What do you mean justice, man? They don't have money.
Maybe they want to go to court and prove their day in court and everything.
Yeah, okay, that's right, man.
Well, what?
Oh, come on, man. Maybe. I'm not saying that they weren't sexually harassed, but the fact is they didn't go to court and prove their day in court. They want a big, fat payday, and that's what they're going to get. Now, are they going to get it from Favre and the Jets, or are they just going to get it from the Jets? They probably don't care. Whoever's paying, that's who they're going to be collecting from. So we'll give you more information on that as we continue. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back. David Arquette is in rehab. You know why? Because his wife kicked his ass out. Maybe that isn't the reason why. Maybe there's something more to it. Plus, coffee and chocolate lovers will pay more for their treat. Anyway, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's the Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You know, we're getting back up to speed here. It's not a big thing, you know, but there's a lot going on behind that. There's a lot going on in the business, man. There's a lot going on in the business. You know, I didn't mention this to you, and I did briefly on the air before we went on vacation. I told you about the illness to Neil Rogers, who was a mentor and a friend in Miami. Well, Neil passed on New Year's Christmas Eve. He died Christmas Eve. Now, how good was he on the air? I'm going to tell you. You haven't heard anybody better in your life. Now, I'm just telling you. You don't have to believe me, but that happens to be the fact. You've never heard anybody better. That's how good he was. And as we lose a great broadcaster, our industry, the radio industry, continues to slide right into the toilet. Right into the toilet. With some of the hires and some of the shows and some of what they consider to be great radio. Left versus right, conservative versus liberal. We don't give this industry half of a chance to grow beyond that garbage. We got more conservative hosts. If you point it out, it makes you a liberal. If I point out the fact we got a lot of conservative hosts on the radio, that must make me a liberal. That's how stupid some of these people are. All I'm asking for is something in the way of a presentation in the world of broadcasting that goes beyond or transcends left, right, Republican, Democrat politics. Who said this is supposed to be a medium for politics morning, noon, and night? And you got the editorial policies of these radio stations. It's beyond belief. If you say one thing that happens to be, that can be construed as positive about Obama, you're a liberal. Now, either that is just abject stupidity on the part of the people that run the radio business, or they're doing it on purpose because they like being dumb. We lose a giant like Neil Rogers, and what are we getting? We're getting Robert Wall. Or however you pronounce that guy's name. How do you pronounce his name?
Robert Wall, I think.
Yeah.
Well, there's a real, that's a great broadcast name, isn't it? Not. We got about, we have more political talk shows in spoken word, in the spoken word format, in the talk radio format, to the point now where no one in this business knows how to do anything else but talk stupidly about politics. I don't give a damn whether Obama's president or not. It's got nothing to do with whether I like him or George Bush or John McCain. It has to do with an industry that is offering the listener nothing. Nothing. We're breaking our ass here every night on this show, trying to come up with a different kind of radio show in an industry that has given up. It's given up. It's quit. It's laying down and waving the white flag of surrender. That's what this industry is doing. Okay? And by pointing this out to you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, by pointing this out, this is an opinion. See? I'm giving an opinion. This is talk radio, isn't it? Well, I'm giving an opinion about my industry. This is something I know something about, see? Now, you can listen to a lot of guys that can talk politics. They don't know what they're talking about, but they can talk about it. They can pretend like they know what they're talking about, can't they? Now, this is something I know, and I'm telling you what I know, and this is the following thing. By pointing this out to you, why? This is I'm committing a horrible sin. Well, you're airing our dirty laundry. Let me tell you something. I'm telling people about the industry that I work in the same way that they would discuss the industries that they work in. This is a medium that people go get up in the morning and listen to, and they go home to listen to at night. It's called radio. And what we're going to be swimming in this year, 2011, is more amateur night. Oh, yeah, you're going to get all of the political talk shows that you want, but you're going to have less in the way of professionalism. And because I've been in this business long enough, and I'm watching it happen.
That's all just because you got pissed off because the coffee wasn't hot?
Yes, that's exactly right. All right, one more thing, because this is one of the things that I don't get, man. I've got an iPhone. You got an iPhone, Robert. I know you do. Worldwide, iPhone users are complaining about malfunctioning alarms even after Apple said its iPhone alarms would work on Monday. What are they talking about?
I don't know. I set mine off.
I've been using my iPhone alarm since I bought the phone, and it has never malfunctioned. What are you idiots talking about? Over the New Year's, get a load of this. Over the New Year's weekend, the alarm application on the smartphone failed to work for alarms that were set for one-time use only, as opposed to recurring. That's how I use it. On the first 2 days of 2011, triggering reports that some people wound up oversleeping. Many iPhone owners took to social media websites such as Facebook and Twitter to sound off on sleeping in, arriving late for work, and even missing meetings and planes after recurring alarms set in the iPhone's clock application failed to go off in the morning. Now, let me explain something to some of you guys. I've got an iPhone. You got to make sure that it's turned on.
They know that.
No, I'm. You think they know that, huh? You got to make sure that you hit save. And you got to make sure, there's two things that you got to make sure, that the alarm is on and that you've hit save. I'm not kidding you. Now, I don't know what kind of phones these are, but I have the upgraded iPhone and I've never had this problem. Ashley McGreen wrote on Twitter, "Really, iPhone? Not a good way to start off the new year with a phone whose alarm doesn't go off. Maybe you don't know how to set it, Ashley," wrote iPhone back. No, I'm kidding, but they should have. And then here's one from Patty Kurtz. Woke up very late this morning. Just found out that the iPhone alarm app is broke. No, you're broke. A fake. I'm kidding. Here is a fake Steve Jobs account. It found a lot of inspiration in the alarm problem, tweeting, "Sorry about the iPhone alarm glitch. We had absolutely no way to prepare for 2011. Well, I don't know what the problem is, because like I said, I've never had a problem with my iPhone alarm, and I've used it since the beginning. And I like using it because I like to use the harp alarm.
Yeah, I heard that. That sounds a little gay.
No, really. Why did I know you'd say that?
What do you use?
I use like a robot. The robot's bitching.
The robot? What do you use?
I think I use a church bell or something. I forget. I woke up to it was a nuclear alarm.
Church bell?
Yeah. All right, thanks, folks. Our show was produced by Charles. Well, it's great to be back. Charles Wagon is our technical director. Dan Northcraft, our associate producer. And our producer is Jason Rantz. And don't forget, PhilHenryShow.com. PhilHenryShow.com. Get yourself a backstage pass. See you tomorrow night.
Phil Hendry.